I promise you, you're in good hands, and so I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jeremy.
That's okay. You can clap for him, yeah.
Thank you, Mom, for starting the clap. I love you, Mom. Good evening, everybody. You know, my wife, when she was four, there used to be a baptistry up here. She was baptized in this room. She wouldn't want me to tell you 41 years ago, but at 4 years old, she's baptized, gave her heart to Jesus, and a few years later, we got married in the auditorium here at the Lufkin location. When we were dating, we met each other at Southwestern University, a Bible college, and going into ministry, and came and visited her one day here and sat in a church service. As you're sitting looking at the platform, we were on the far left, and I remember Jesus just kind of saying, you know, I've got some things planned for you. Stay open. And I didn't really know what the future looked like. And sure enough, here 17 years later, for 17 years, being a part of the staff and the church, and this is home for us. It's way more than a ministry assignment to be the pastor. This is the only church our kids know. I mentioned in first service that we said goodbye to our 19-year-old today in the driveway of our house. Lots of tears this afternoon. And it's like we already said goodbye to her. This is her sophomore year, but we criers. I'm going to tell you right now, we just cry. I love you. I love you. I love you. Let me just go with you. I mean, like, it was terrible and awesome because that's what parents do. We teach our kids how to leave. That's just what we do. You teach them how to leave, and you pray that they want to come back. And I don't have a lot to say today. I want you to know that, hey, if you are dipping your toe in the water of encounter, and you've heard stories, and you don't really know what to expect, and you may be even a little intimidated or a little timid, I want you to know this is a safe place. It's a good place. But safe place doesn't always mean completely free from any kind of challenge, to be stretched, to be pushed. And Justin asked me to open up in prayer, and like a good pastor, not only am I opening up in prayer, but I'm going to tell you a little story real quick, and then we're going to pray. First of all, let me say this. If you come in every week kind of with a posture of, well, let's see, then probably what you're going to get is that. If you come in with a posture of expectancy, a posture of saying, Jesus, I can't wait to hear what you want to say to me next. I'm an open book, Jesus. Read me. Then it's going to be amazing what happens. To see many people here that have gone through encounter in the last time and how much it has changed and I guess not even changed, but just like affected many people's lives. This is a beautiful experience. We wanted something that we could go just a little bit deeper than a Sunday morning allows, that we can go a little bit deeper. We spend a little bit more time. We can kind of wade out into the deep waters. And there's a beautiful thing that will happen if we allow ourselves to do that. So here's the little story I was reminded of this afternoon as I was thinking about you guys coming in and starting fresh. And I just love Encounter. I love the Encounter experience. The Encounter weekend that's coming up, like it's you don't want to miss it. Just trust me. I hope you'll trust me. Don't miss it. So anybody ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Author, he was an atheist. God radically got a hold of his life and wrote some incredible, incredible work. He wrote some fiction, several different books, The Chronicles of Narnia. Anybody ever heard of that? Like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, so on and so forth. My dad would read those to us one chapter at a time when we were kids. We'd be laying in our bunk bed, and he'd be reading these stories. And it's like Lord of the Rings, but it's a Christian version. It's incredible because there is these kids that go through a wardrobe and they find a brand new world. And there in that world, it's dark and it's winter, but Aslan, the lion, is going to come and restore everything. And Aslan is a picture of Jesus. Well, a few books in, you get to the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, a vessel that's traveling through the Caspian Sea. And there is a character on that vessel that you love to hate. Anybody ever had, you know, like, that's my spouse? No, they better not be. Like, His name's Eustace, and Eustace is useless, they say. Eustace is, he complains about everything. He never does his chores. He never helps out. He's arguing all the time. He wants everything for himself. When there's only enough food portion and food rations, he's taking other people's, and he's eating all the dessert instead of leaving it for everybody else. Anybody ever known a Eustace like that? Okay. And Eustace is just a terrible character. Like I said, you love to hate. Well, in this book and on this voyage of the Dawn Treader, they come to this island, and I'm going to give you a condensed version. They come to this island, and they drop anchor, and Eustace goes looking through the island, and he comes to this, now this is a crazy world, okay, but he comes to this dragon's lair, and there's an old dragon inside this kind of cave, and there's treasure all around the dragon, like untold. Just riches and riches, and the dragon is guarding it. But as Eustace watches, the dragon right there dies. The dragon just like dies. And so Eustace goes in, sneaks in around the carcass of this dead dragon, and he's trying to fill his pockets with all this treasure, and he finds this large bracelet, and he puts the bracelet on his arm, and he's trying, and before he knows it, though, he gets tired from gathering all of these riches, and he takes a nap. Why would you take a nap next to a dead dragon? I don't know. Some of you are like, yeah, that was my ex-husband. So he wakes up, and here's the crazy thing that has happened. Eustace, something about that bracelet, he's become the dragon. He wakes up and he's the dragon. He can no longer speak. He can no longer communicate. Everybody on the Dawn Treader is scared to death of him. And so he flaps his wings and he flies over to the Dawn Treader. He's trying to communicate, but instead of communicating, he's blowing fire and they're shooting arrows at him because he's the enemy now. And the book says that Eustace got so, so, so lonely. And his arm that had grown, that bracelet was now digging in because his, like, you know, it's like a wedding ring that barely fits when you first get married, men, you know. And then like 18 years later, it's like you need a torch to get that sucker off. Well, that bracelet is just dug in and it's terrible pain. And he's in such agony. And I looked up what happens next. And I want to read. Can I just read a little excerpt of what happens? So Eustace was in pain, and Eustace was lonely and felt isolated. He didn't like what he saw in the mirror, in the reflection of the water. And it's here that Aslan enters the picture. And Aslan says, "Follow me," and he takes Eustace to this bubbling well with marble steps. And I will say the scripture reads, but it's not. It's just C.S. Lewis. "The water was as clear as anything I thought." This is Eustace talking. "If I could just get in that water and bathe, it would ease the pain in my arm. But the lion told me, 'No, you have to undress first.' Now, I don't know if he said words out loud or not, but I heard him clearly. I was going to say to him I couldn't undress because I hadn't any clothes on, when suddenly I thought, oh, dragons are kind of snakes, and they can cast their skin. Oh, of course, that's what the lion means. So I started scratching myself, and my scales began coming off all over the place. And then I scratched a little deeper, and instead of just scales coming off here and there, my whole skin started peeling off beautifully, like it does after an illness or a sunburn, like I was a banana. In a minute or two, I just stepped out of my old skin. I could see it lying there beside me, looking nasty. It was most lovely. So I started to go down into the well for my bath, but just as I was going to put my feet into the water, I looked down, and I saw they were all hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, just like they had been before. I said to myself, 'Okay, that's all right. It only means I've got another smaller suit on underneath the first one, and I'll have to get out of it too.' So I scratched and I tore again, and this underskin peeled off beautifully, and out I stepped, and I left it lying beside the other one and went down to the well to bathe. Exactly the same thing happened again. I thought to myself, 'How many skins have I got to take off? I just want to bathe my leg.' So I scratched away for the third time, got off a third skin, like the two others, stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had been no good." Now here's what I want you to catch. Then Aslan, a representation of Jesus in this story, Aslan the lion, said to me, I don't know if it spoke or not, He said, you will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of this. I was afraid of his claws. I can tell you, I was nearly desperate, though. So I just lay flat down on my back to let him do it. And the very first tear he made was so deep, I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I'd ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. He peeled the beastly stuff right off. Then he caught hold of me and threw me into the water. And my skin was like a baby, brand new. It's just a picture of what Jesus wants to do that we've tried to do over and over again. Fix ourselves. And then we find another layer and try and fix ourselves. And I believe the encounter experience, if you will just open yourself up, be vulnerable with him, it may even hurt a little. Oh, but he'll peel it right off. Anything and everything. There's so much newness that you can experience if you'll let him. Let me pray over you. Jesus, the next few weeks are just opportunities for you to do what only you can do. And so we just dedicate this time. We dedicate the men and the women around these tables to your process, to you peeling away one layer after the next, one week after the next, finding who we really are, not that we thought we were, but who you have said we are. You have something for each and every one of us. We receive it today. Would you just do that? Maybe just put a hand on your heart in recognition of Jesus. Whatever you want to say, right deep down into my heart. Say it, speak it, change it, improve it, challenge it. I'm yours, Lord. Peel off whatever you need to peel off. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Give it up for Justin. Let's get started.
Thank you, Pastor. That was just him talking about the different skins coming off. It instantly reminded me of probably the past, I would say 42 years of my life, but real, more than anything, probably the past 15. One of the things that you'll get to experience in here is a lot of my story. And God has peeled back layers and layers and layers of who I am. I am probably the most unlikely suspect to be up here leading this class and teaching this. But I can tell you, I sat in this room when it started, and I said, all right, God, just whatever you want to do with me, I'm willing to go. And I thought I knew who Jesus was. And through a true encounter with Christ, and it seems like he never stops. That's one of the reasons I love this class. Is I was talking to the team this morning, and I said, I'm expecting God to change me through this. You know, I have an expected heart. I know that there's so much more that God wants for me, that God has for me, and God wants to show me. And I know he has that for each and every one of you in here. And so I appreciate you trusting us with this process of this thing called encounter. I know everybody's heard about it. Some of you have been through it. Some of you in here has been through it two or three times. And so I'm just excited to see what God does in this semester, okay? All right, so we're going to dive in and get going. We're going to do something real quick at your table. Your table hosts have a card for you. All right, this week we're talking, tonight we're talking about identity. All right, and who we are. And I never discovered who I was until I truly discovered who Jesus was. I remember when I was 35 years old, I had an encounter with God in a unique way, and he showed himself to me in a way that I really wasn't expecting, because he asked me to do something that I wasn't ready to do. But that encounter forever changed my life. And I'll share more about that as we go forward. But one of the things that I had to embrace when I was sitting there was I went back to my dad raised me in church, and I come from, my dad was a pastor, my brother's a pastor, I was raised by pastors, and I always had heard of Jesus and always had an idea who Jesus was, and I thought I knew him, all right? But when I really finally began to understand who Jesus was, I began to understand who I was. And the more I understood who Jesus was and who God was in my life, it changed every area of my life. And it's still changing my life today. So right now you have a card. Keith, let me just kind of, you'll see it. And it's real simple. And it says, God is. Okay? God is. And what I want you to do, your table hosts are going to pass it around. We're going to take about 5 to 7 minutes. We're going to turn some music on. And this is what I want to do. Is who is God to you right now? And disclaimer, God knows exactly how you think about him. Okay? You're not, if you just write what you think God wants to hear, you're going to miss it. I can make you this promise. It doesn't matter if God is everything to you or you're on the other side of it saying, I don't even know if he's real. He's a big boy. He can handle it. But when you begin to verbalize who God is, it allows us to start walking through this process. And before we can move into encountering God, some of us may need to be introduced to him tonight. Some of us may need a hefty reminder of who Jesus really is. Some of us may just need something that encourages us to take another step. I don't know where you're at in your walk, but God does. And so we're going to take about 5 to 7 minutes, and I challenge you. The table host is going to do it. We're going to come back and discuss it a little bit. But I just encourage you to really lean in, take some time and say, who is God to me right now? And I want you to write it on that paper, okay? And then we're going to come back and discuss it in just a second. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and About one more minute. All right, let's unpack this real quick. I know that probably wasn't a minute, but so who in here is willing to share? Just I'll start it just to kind of show you. So, like, this is going to sound weird, but like when I think about who God is right now, God is waiting for me right now. He's waiting for me to surrender something big in my life, and I'm very close. And that sounds, well, you know, why don't you just do it? Well, I'm human too. And so there's things in my life that I've compartmentalized. And I'm like, no, this is mine. This is mine. And God says, I want all of you. And so I know that God is love and God is all these things. But I know that right now God's saying, son, I'm waiting on you, all right, because you can trust me. And so that's what, like, when I talk about who God is right now in my conversations with him, is I know he's waiting. And he's waiting so he can take, so I can take next steps, okay? And so there's a God is waiting right now when I'm referring to God. So who's willing to share right now? Anybody? Mr. Seaman, Cash?
I wrote God is provider.
Provider? Okay. What does that mean to you?
So my wife and I converted our 401k last year into a Roth IRA. And so when you do that, you have to pay some taxes on it. And we were like, yeah, that's fine. So we just filed our taxes last week. It's $100,000 we owe for taxes on money that we didn't actually receive. And so when they told us, Mandy and I both just smiled and looked at God and said, here's your opportunity to move. Because I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So.
But that's also operating in faith. I appreciate you, the transparency there. Somebody else. Right back here. Richard?
I wrote down, God's my friend, my healer, and my protector.
Friend, healer, protector.
Right now, those are the three things I'm getting from God. Like Pastor Jeremy, I just took my daughter, who's a sophomore at ACU, and like Jeremy was thinking, this year's going to be easy. You know, but the tears, the dad moments, as well as saying goodbye to my ex-wife. So, yeah.
So you need a friend, all right? The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Somebody else. Somebody maybe on a different perspective, a different spectrum. Ladies, these guys are out doing you. Come on, we'll come back over here. Toby, who's God to you right now?
I wrote down that God is a gift that we can't earn, but one that is given freely.
That's good. Free gift. Somebody else. Now, hey, listen, I'm going to set the stage. Like, we're going to be real in this class. I'm going to share some things with you, all right, that you're like, I can't believe he shared that. If I can't be real in here, we're going the wrong direction, because we have a real God. And if we serve a real God, he wants to deal with real issues in our life. And so the realness, he already knows. And so does anybody else, where are we at? We're over here. Joanna?
I wrote down he's my wisdom decider, because sometimes, you know, you want things in life, and you can pray those things that you want. And sometimes, like, the Lord just, you know, he's like, no, you don't need that. You don't need that. And so I've been praying some prayers of things that I want, and, you know, he's the better decision makers on if I want that or not, or need that or not. So,
well, so that kind of ties in with Cash. Even though God's our provider, it doesn't say provide based off of our will, it's based off his will. I see somebody up here. Where are we at? Was it Miss Erica?
Thank you, Justin. I wrote, God is always in the background of my life. And I know he's there every single day. But not every single day, every single minute, I know he's, I do what I need to do. But, I mean, I know he's there. I know that when I need him, he's there. But I'm in a walk, I guess, where I am trying to, I guess, get to that point where he's not in the background. He's in my foreground, but not, yes. Thank you, Justin.
Matthew 6 and 33, here's a promise for what you're dealing with. I love the word of God. Matthew 6 and 33 says, put me first in all things, and he says, and I'll take care of everything else. He says, I'll provide everything else. So when you're walking through, the appreciate your honesty. Like that, the transparency tells us that you're honest enough to say, this is where I'm at, but I don't want to stay here. It's okay to be where we're at today. We just don't want to stay there. We want to move forward. And so does somebody else, I see a hand over here, no? Anybody else want to share? Who we got right here? What's your name? Robert?
Rocky.
Rocky, okay.
I put down peace, grace, love, and first, because those were the three things that I got as soon as I put him first.
Awesome. If y'all don't know about Rocky, he got baptized in his work clothes. He showed up, he said, I'm ready right now, right today. He had boots and jeans and everything else on. So, all right, yeah, amen. I'm sure some of y'all wrote something down and you're like, I'm just not ready to share it. That's okay. Because this is a walk between you and God. I know that, like, when some of y'all come in here, like, wait a minute, I'm not sitting with my spouse. I'm not sitting with my friend. No, because what we want is for you to encounter Christ in a unique way for you. All right, we want everybody in here to be able to encounter Christ. And at the guys' tables, we're going to talk about things that the ladies wouldn't want to talk about. Ladies, you're going to talk about things that you wouldn't want the guys are talking about. And so that's the reason why we split this up, because this is a walk with Christ. This is a time for you to connect with Christ in this 5-week process. So before I jump into the teaching, is there anybody in here that says, I have one that I'm struggling with? And if you don't, it's okay. We'll move forward. But does anybody have one here that says, I'm struggling with this, and I just need to... Steve?
I put he's a mystery because, I mean, up till I met you, what, a year and a half ago now? Up till then, I really wasn't a believer. I came out of, you know, oil field, pipelines, third generation of that. I've always relied on my own understanding of things. And it took me being fully broken to, I mean, end up here. I met y'all after some very traumatic things to be here. So to me, he's still a mystery of figuring out not just who he is, but who I am in him.
And I got a promise for you in that. I want you to know. I know this guy because I met him on the balcony out here, just as broke as a man I've ever met. And God loves you as much then as he does now, but his love will not change the more you chase him, because God cannot love you more than he does right now, because God is love. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. So the fact that you're willing to say that, Stephen, it shows how far you've come. And it makes me very proud, and God's got something for you in this, okay? One more, and then we're gonna move on.
Ryan? Yes, sir. I put down God is the only part of me that gives me the desire to stop being who I see myself as. I've always had either a completely inflated view of who I am or a completely deflated view of who I am. And I can't see myself accurately. I never will be able to. And the more I try to see myself through, or at least the way God does, the more I can hear and the more I can see. And it's been amazing.
I got something for you tonight then. Anybody else before we get started? Y'all see what we're doing here? This is people are encountering God right now because they're saying, God, I'm real enough to tell you where I'm at. Because if you're not willing to admit where you're at, you have no clue where you're trying to go. And so, but when you're willing to say, God's a mystery to me, but I'm willing to investigate it. I'm here for something. I don't know why someone invited me. Someone told me not to miss this experience. I don't know why I'm here, but if you're here, God has you here for a reason. I don't care if you've been walking with God for 50 years. I don't care if you're a pastor, if you're on staff, if you're teaching it, or you're in here saying, I don't even know that I believe this stuff. God has you in here for a reason. And He wants to do something in your life. And if you will let Him, if you'll say, God, I will trust you with this process, I can make you this guarantee. He'll meet you where you're at and He'll change you. I promise. Okay? So we're fixing to jump into the teaching, and we're actually talking about identity in Christ today. This isn't in your notes. It will be in the notes starting next semester, but this is something God showed to me right after we printed the notes, so I'm just glad God's still in control of this microphone. We're talking about identity, and we've heard this thing identity about, like, if I figure out who I am or I figure out who God is, this will change or this will change. And there's a scripture in the Bible, there's a story that God sets up that shows us how powerful our identity is in Him. And it's one of the best pictures, all right, that we can look at and say, okay, if it's good enough for Jesus, then it's got to be good enough for us. All right. And the book is Mark. It's in the first chapter. Mark 1, all right, and it's in verse 11. And just real quick, this is where Jesus is getting baptized. All right. Jesus gets baptized in the water, and something happens that God showed me this, and it forever changed my identity. Okay? Because I want, hear this. Some of y'all in here have never met the real you. You don't know who you are. You've never met the real you. When you see a reflection, you see a reflection of what someone else has made you feel like you are. A reflection of an idea of how other people see you. You haven't met the real you. And whenever you meet the real you, it will change every aspect of your life. But in Mark 1, verse 11, God says something. Jesus, up to this point, has not done any miracles. He has done no healing. He hasn't done nothing. The only account that we have of Jesus up to this point is Him being born to Mary and then Him in the temple getting on to Mary, or getting on to His mama. That's it. Those are the only two accounts that we have of Jesus. He's done nothing. And God is asking Him to change the world in 3.5 years. That's the time frame He had to change the world. And He's getting baptized by John the Baptist, and He comes out of the water, and a dove rests upon Him, and it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of His Father. And God could tell Him anything in the world. He's God. And so I'm thinking, like, why did you tell Him this? Like, why didn't you give Him some instruction? Like, why didn't you say, hey, you're fixing to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights with no food or no water to see my identity that I wouldn't be able to see on my own accord? What power it is to know who we are in Christ. Healed. Is there anybody in here who needs healing tonight? Huh? I heard a lot of grunts. I'm sure everybody in here has an area in their life that said, God, if you just heal this, it'd make my life so much easier. I've seen God heal and I've seen Him not. Okay, but I can tell you one thing, all right, that it is available to those that belong to Him. We still have a healing God above us. We still have a healing God in our presence. My family's living proof of it. Forever free, more than conquerors, capable. God calls us more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. He says you don't just have to stop with the victory. He says you're more than that. God wants us to have a life full of joy. Life's tough. God knows it. Jesus knows it too. They've been through some stuff. But John 10:10 says this very specific thing. It says the enemy comes and he's trying to rob and steal and kill everything in your life. God says, but I come, and that word but is a conjunction. It's equally, It makes that statement equally true on both sides of that sentence. He says, but I come that you have life and life to the full, or life more abundantly. It means overflowing. God wants every one of his children. Nobody in here says, I want my kids to be complete failures. I don't. I hope and pray that my kids go far and beyond exceed anything I ever do. Nobody wants their kids to fail. I don't want my kids to suffer. We don't want our kids to go through hard times. We know they will, but that's not something we wish on them. God doesn't wish that upon us. And God said, you can be more than a conqueror in me. When we begin to sort these identities out about who we can become, does that excite, does anything what I'm talking about, is anybody in here, and please raise your hand so I know we're heading in the right direction, is anybody here say, hey, when I listen to those are some things in there that I really could use. Anybody? Okay, good deal. Because I know for me that as the more I look at them, the more I want them. The more free I want to be, the more empowered I want to be. I want to conquer some things in my life that have held me down for years, that have controlled my mind, have robbed from my heart, and I know that if I keep trusting God day in and day out, that I will be a conqueror over these things in my life. And I want y'all to be part of that process with me, okay? And it says, the very last one, it says, with the help of Jesus Christ, you can become victorious in any area of your life, listen, in which you are willing to allow Jesus access. In Matthew, he says, if you'll knock, he says, I'll answer. He says, if you ask, it'll be given. He says, you seek and you'll find. And what God's talking about there, he says, he's talking about him. He said, if you'll knock on my door, he says, I'll always, always, always open it for my children. He says, if you seek me, you'll find me. He says, if you ask me for my will, I will give it to you. We get so bound up by asking God for everything that we want, that we think that we need, and God's saying, if you could just see it from my perspective, it's going to destroy you. And I can't turn that over to you because I love you too much. But if you would receive the perfect will that I have for you, all the joy that you would experience. But you have to be willing to give him access. You have to. He did not force Peter and them to follow him. He just said, hey, guys, come on. And in that moment, they had a decision. They could have said no. But they said, okay, follow me. And he changed the world with them. All God's asking you to do tonight is in this process and in everything else and every other area of your life, he's saying, just trust me and follow me. He says, I'm taking you somewhere. And he said, you can trust me in this. And I promise you can entrust this encounter process. We'll dig deeper and deeper each and every week. But we open up every first Sunday, the first Sunday night of encounter, of really talking about who God is, who we are, but most of all, man, who we can become. And that excites me that no matter where I'm at in my walk, that God has more for me. And I want it. Does anybody else want more tonight? Amen. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take just a second. If you'll flip over a reflection exercise. All right, and this is just to kind of get you, make your brains move. You can talk at your tables. This is a time of talk, and so we're going to do two things. All right, we're going to ask ourselves this question: who are you now, and who do you want to become after this encounter? Who are you now, and who do you want to become after this encounter? I know mine. I know exactly who I am today. You know who I want to be after this encounter? I want to be more aware of his presence. I want to be more aware of the areas in my life that he's saying, trust me with. So that's who I want to become more aware in this process. But on the exercise, we're going to do this, and then you can talk about it at your table. Basically, is when you're talking about an encounter experience, think of an encounter with someone that changed your life. Why was that moment significant on another, and what was the effects that it have on your life? So an encounter with someone, it can be an encounter with anybody and how it changed your life. All right. Sonya and Bubba, raise your hand real quick. Sonya and Bubba Bonner, my very best friends, okay? Love them dearly. And I met Sonya and Bubba in this encounter class about 6 years ago, right? They used to lead this class, and I met them too, and those two forever changed me because I've been through some good times with them. I've been through some bad times with them. But I can tell you is they both have enriched my life in a way that makes me want to chase God even more. So that's an encounter. That's what I'm talking about. Your encounter may be bad. It's okay. But those two have forever changed my life and will always rest on my soul. God put them in my life for a reason. I met them in this class, and it forever changed me. It made me a better person. It made me a better man, a better leader, a better husband, a better dad. But most of all, they showed me a lot of identity when it comes to my walk with Christ. So that's what we're going to do for about 5 minutes.
When I'm in over my head, where can I go? What can I do? Oh. throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Is it gonna kill now?
All right, guys, I want to honor your time tonight. I love all the conversations at the table, and I want to make sure I honor your time. The great thing is we'll have another four weeks of this. You know how Jesus changed the world? Do what? One person at a time. But what did Jesus do? How did he change it? The miracles didn't change the world. They got our attention. You know how Jesus changed the world? Connections. Conversations. Through conversations. Sit down by a well. Talk to a woman. Stood on a hill. Talk to 5,000. But through connections. You can change the world through conversation. Through right conversation. And the more you connect at your tables, the more you connect with each other, the more you open up, the more you trust the person to the left, to your right of you, the more that you will begin to change. One of the greatest things that ever changed me was community. And it's all throughout the Bible. Jesus changed the world through connections, one conversation at a time, you know, one person at a time that didn't look like everybody else, you know, one instance here, one instance there. And so I love to see the conversation at the table. It'll change your life. I want to leave you with two things, and then I'm going to let y'all get out of here. Okay? Let me get back to my notes. I can't believe we're on time tonight. It's crazy. I want you to hang on to this, okay? If some of y'all are, everybody's in a little different headspace right now. Some of y'all are saying, this is pretty basic tonight. It was. All right, rightful, and then it's for a reason. Next week, you'll have the privilege of hearing one of the greatest teachers I've ever sat underneath. She's transformational in her speech. Sonia Bonner is going to teach next Sunday. I'll be in Nacogdoches. She is amazing. Anyway, one of the things that let me back up is we're all in a different headspace. This is basic. Wow, this really touched me. I can't wait for what's next. I just don't know that this class is for me. Everybody's going to have a different way of thinking when they leave here. And the enemy would love more than anything in the world to rob from you from just your perception right now. Please just trust us with a process. Bubba, is it worth trusting the process of encounter? Is it worth trusting the process of encounter? Tracy, you're new here, right? How long have you been coming to Tindle Creek? Huh? October will be a year. What did Encounter do for you? David, what happened to you on the way to the retreat?
I got probably about 7 miles.
Speak up. Speak loud.
I got about 7 miles from the retreat. And I kept asking God that, you know, I've been told a lot of things. And it's like, God, is this real? You know, what am I expecting? Am I getting this big story to expect something big? Am I going to get there? Is this going to be okay? And so I kind of doubted on my drive there. I got down the road, and I got there, and Brandon Brazier and Shane Sepulveda were waiting on me. And we went down and ate. And so as I walked in the chapel, the first song started playing, and the lights had just dimmed. And from that moment on, Encounter changed my life completely.
John, you're a repeating student. What has it done for you?
Last time I walked in these doors for Encounter, I was about a few days out of rehab. I was a month sober. And today I'm 8 months sober, and now I'm a youth recovery coach. So God has completely changed my life since Encounter.
I think it's good to hear from other people besides me, because you're going to hear a lot from me. So I'm going to end the class with this. I heard this in 21 Days of Prayer. One more thing, that card you wrote, who God is to you right now, I want you to put it somewhere you won't lose it. Because I can make you this promise right now. If you will lean into this process, who God is on that card to you, it can change. Good or bad, it can grow. So I would love to see when we come out of this process and you take that card, and some of you are saying, God's a mystery to me. If you'll lean in, Stephen, God won't be a mystery to you no more. All right? You're trying to find your identity, Ryan? All right? Take that card. I want to know who God is to you after this process, okay? That's for everybody in here. The team did it too. I'm doing it. Mine's wrote down. Because I want to know who I know God is going to move in my life and in your life, because I just believe that this class is going to say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to give. What do you have to lose? Nothing. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. To say, God, I'm going to give you 5 weeks through this process called Encounter and listen to this guy yammer a whole bunch, sit around this table, but I'm going to go to this retreat. I'm going to trust a pastor that just come and spoke, Pastor Jeremy. I'm going to trust them with 5 weeks to see what God can do for me. And put God to the challenge on that. But I heard this in 21 days of prayer, and it will forever change the way I pray and the way I seek God. Because some of y'all in here have prayed some things and they're not getting answered and you're wondering why. You're saying, God, I don't understand that. It'd be so easy. Many times I told God, you could just snap your fingers and this could happen. That's who you are. But as I listened to Chris Hodges, he said three things and I added one to it. But when we begin to pray, God answers our prayers based off of who He is, not who we are. Okay? If you want to write these down, you can. I'll give you a second. God answers prayers based off of who He is, not who we are. Off of His resources, this is going to speak to somebody, not our resources. He answers prayers based off of His plans, not ours. And this is the one I added at the end because this was for me. And I hope that it's for you in here tonight too. God answers prayers based off of His truth, not our emotions. God answers prayers based off of His truth, not our emotions. So they're based off of who He is, not who we are, His resources, not ours, His plan, not ours, and His truth, the absolute truth, not our emotions. Amen. I'm going to close this out in prayer, and we'll see you guys next week. Father, thank you for this appointed time, God, to come and sit in your presence, to hear your word, to connect with people, God, that we may not have connected with before, God, to begin to build a brotherhood and a sisterhood, God, of connection, of trust, of community. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray your blessings and your favor over each and every person in here. God, I pray you walk in front of them. God, I pray that you're behind them, that your presence is all around them. God, I pray that you cover them with your provision. God, I pray, God, that for clarity as they walk forward in identity, God, I pray protection over their identity. As you're beginning to show us who we truly are, God, the enemy wants to rob the truth from us. And God, he wants to disguise what the world says we are. And God, if we identify with the world, we don't identify with you. God, I pray you protect our identity. And God, I pray that you just cover our families, be with everybody throughout this week. God, I just pray that everybody returns next Sunday, God, with an expectant heart, an eager heart to see what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank y'all for night one. We will see y'all at 5:30, 5:45 next Sunday.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved.